Struggling to move your nonprofit forward? You've come to the right place. Welcome to the Nonprofit Architect, where we are giving you the actionable steps you need to launch and grow your nonprofit organization. Now, here's your host, Travis Johnson.
Hey, welcome to the Nonprofit Architect. I'm Travis Johnson here today with Tammy Moses. If you like what you hear and you want to keep this on the air, visit us at patreon.com/nonprofitarchitect. Throw a $5 bill in there. It won't break the bank and it'll help keep this podcast on the air. Tammy, welcome. How are you today?
Hi, Travis. Thanks so much for having me. And I am doing great today.
Wonderful. Glad to have you. We've talked a couple of times on the internet. I love this Zoom thing, able to connect across time and space. We're only 10 time zones apart. I'm out in Bahrain in the Middle East, and you are in Oak Harbor, Washington. You're a yes. Navy vet, and you run a hoarding business. Hoarding businesses? No, that's not it. What? Tell me about your business.
So I do run a company called Homes Are for Living, and we focus on the issue of hoarding because it's largely misunderstood, and there is a lot of stigma around hoarding issues, which also involves a lot of mental health issues. I have found a need for people to be able to share their stories and talk about this. When I was growing up in the 80s, my parents had a hoarding issue. We didn't call it that. Nobody really even talked about like other people might live this way. Now I am talking about it publicly, something I never thought I would do. And I'm finding there's a lot of people that need to tell their story. And there's a lot of people that are struggling with parents that hoard, spouses that hoard, even their kids that hoard. And there's just people who need to know they aren't alone. Mm-hmm. And they need to know what they can do to help the person that hoards. And more importantly, what can they do for themselves? Because in general, you can't control other people, but you can do you.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I remember encountering a hoarding situation when I was much younger, maybe 12 or 13. I went to a friend's house. I had never been invited over before. He had come to my place, and I went over there, and there was a path through the living room through all these stacks of magazines. I can't remember what magazine it was, but it was all the same magazine, and these stacks were taller than I was. Mm. It was very uncomfortable going through there. And we made it up to his room, which was very much cleaner than the rest of the house. And I was just confused as to what's going on.
That's interesting because it's common to never be invited over. And the fact that he did invite you over means he trusted you enough to do that. Chances are whoever had those magazines would not allow them to be moved in any way. And the path that you're talking about, we call it a goat path, where that's like the only access point you have to get anywhere. I can relate to that because I had cousins who would tell me my room was the cleanest room in the house because I wouldn't let anybody bring their stuff in. And so how did your friend react to you being there?
You know, I honestly haven't put too much thought into it, but he was just excited to have someone over because I don't imagine he had a lot of people that came over a lot of the time. But you and I connected through the Vetpreneur Tribe on Facebook, and I love the Vet Tribe. But you recently went a step further and then just the internet. You actually traveled to D.C. to the Military Influencers Conference. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
It was one of those things where you think, really? I'm going to travel across the entire country to meet people that you know on social media, but you think you need to go there. Yeah, so I went. And there are people that I met that have helped me so much over the past 2 years. Social media, the joy of connecting, and I got to hug these people and talk to them and eat dinner and drink some vodka and be connected with these amazing, badass people that are in their own way, changing their world, changing their industry, showing up as big as they can. And then showing up there is like showing up even bigger. It's like bigger than life now.
Right, right.
And there was a lot of different things that were happening there. So you had a lot of options as far as walking through the vendors, going to presentations. I saw a couple pitch contests, which was really awesome because I've sent in my pitches a couple times, but then to see what the people were wanting to see, what did the judges look at? How did they score it? You know, seeing that real live interaction was pretty amazing. And afterwards, I was able to talk to a couple of them and they told me their experience. You know, I talked to the founder of Street Shares, and we chatted a little bit, and he's like, you got to see what it's like now. And so as you improve your own pitches, now you know. Now you have a better idea because you saw that real in-person interaction. And on the last day, we had the Vetpreneur Accelerator with Stephen Kuhn and Lane Ballone. They had really pulled this all together, and they had amazing people come in there and go around and talk to us at our different, where we're at. You know, what are you struggling with? You know, we had an attorney. We had Trish Lito was there talking about her 5-minute lives.
Love Trish.
I love Trish. She is just, she keeps just doing it. The unicorn breeder. I love that. In fact, I have a little unicorn headband that I have worn on a couple of my lives because I love that idea. In fact, at Military Influencer Conference, I tend to have to go take a break. I need like quiet and outside. And so I found they had a little grocery store like in the lobby of the Hilton, which was great because you could go get your little snack and go somewhere. And I was talking to the cashier and she's like, oh, there's this great little spot outside. I'm like, you just saved my life. I need some time to just process. And in that time frame, Trish and then Donald Dotson from Dotson Designs, we got to sit outside and have our little chat and connect quietly. And it was really great to have that quiet connecting point. And I met another gal there as well. And they were like, well, where are you at? And I'm like, oh, I'm out on this patio under the orange umbrellas. And so people were like coming to talk to me. I was like being lazy, had my shoes off, you know, outside. People were like, where are you texting me? Where are you at? Okay, well, let's talk. And then it just led to really great conversations. And
yeah, and real relationships.
Like real relationships. And like, I've talked to you over the last 2 years and now it's like, you know, we're solid. Even more solid now. It was,
great. It's amazing that we can get online with whatever our thing is, find a group of like-minded people or people that are willing to have some connection, are willing to work together. And the Vetpreneur Tribe is wonderful. Everyone's just adding value to everybody, and that's fantastic. But you build relationships with these people. And if you're listening to this and you're in the nonprofit world, the nonprofit space, you need to be in groups that are in your area. Organizations that work in your area, people that work in your area, and you need to be on nonprofit groups that talk about nonprofit stuff and get the kind of value that Tammy is talking about, because she's talking about connecting with people over the internet with a little text conversation, a little bit of messaging, maybe a Zoom call, and you're adding value to each other's lives. And here, 2 years later, you go to a world-class conference with world-class people, and it's like they know you. You were telling me earlier that you were walking through the vending booths. People were grabbing you like, you know, James Van Pruyen, you know, VP was like, Tammy, come over here. You were saying hi to other people and you're like, hi, I'm Tammy. And they're like, Moses, yeah, we know. And it's like, you know that you belong already. By the time you actually get there and show up, you already know people and you're already there and you're in it and it's real. And this is how value is created online. Building your tribe, joining a tribe, building each other up and getting ahead.
I was so amazed by the fact that people knew my name. I was like, oh, and come to think of it, before I went, someone referred to me as a wise woman of the tribe. And I was like, and I laughed and then I realized later, maybe that was kind of rude because maybe I was adding value. Maybe I did have some kind of wisdom. And what I would say is that it's about the relationships, whether you're in profit, nonprofit, whether you're dealing with your family or your significant other. I honestly felt like this was a family reunion that I wanted to go to. And that journey start, my phone died. And I left my house with no phone the day that I was going to MIC, to Military Influencer Conference. And I was like, I was just doing an update. The update didn't take, killed my phone. Mm-hmm. So I'm traveling, no phone. I brought my laptop, thankfully, and I could connect.
But you're traveling by yourself across the country.
I'm traveling by myself across the country. With no phone. My boyfriend's off hunting with our two dogs, or his and mine. And I have no way to contact him to say, hey, I'm alive. If you're texting me, I'm alive. I just don't have a phone. So anyhow, I end up having to talk to Facebook message my neighbor and say, could you please let my boyfriend know that I'm okay, but my phone died. And when I get there, I'll figure it out. I did.
How brave is that? That's brave.
It felt very 1992. Because everybody's in their phone, everybody's got their little message alerts, and I'm like blind, basically. And I was in Phoenix, and how do you find a payphone in this day and age? Seriously.
There isn't one.
Nope.
It's in a museum.
You can see where they used to be, because they cover it over, and they paint it and look pretty, but that used to be a phone. And anyway, so I finally got to D.C., and I was staying at Airbnb. I was experimenting. I wanted to see, how do other people do Airbnb? Since
before you launched yours, which we did today. Before I launched mine,
which we finally did.
Yes.
And thanks to Travis now. And I got there. I opened up my laptop. The Airbnb host said, hey, I don't have anybody checking out. You can check in whenever you want. And I was like, fantastic.
Perfect.
Didn't know where I was going. Hopped on the metro with my suitcase. I wanted to experience it that way. No phone, no Uber. So
no Airbnb messaging either.
No, right. Yeah. But when I got there, I opened up my laptop because I had Wi-Fi at the airport. And I got there at like 6 a.m. So I had time to kill, basically. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be messaging my Airbnb host at 6 a.m. You know.
Well, it's like 9 a.m. over there.
Yeah, but it was 6 a.m. their time when I got there.
Oh.
So it was like 3 a.m. my time, and I hadn't slept, you know, airplane sleep. That's not really sleep. Yeah. Anyway, I finally got to my metro stop. There was Dunkin' Donuts. I'm like, oh, thank God, coffee. So I went in and had coffee, and there was nowhere to sit except for this older gentleman eating his donuts. And I said, do you mind if I sit here? He's like, go ahead. And he's wearing a fedora hat. Mm-hmm. And that comes into play later. I met someone else wearing a hat like that. And then my 4-year-old nephew had a hat like that too. So that showed up 3 different times. Anyway, I dragged my suitcase for a while, got very close to the hotel, and finally I found a cab. And I'm like, look, can you just take me to my Airbnb? And he did. And he was like, I've been waiting here for 2 hours for a fare. And he took me like, you know, 5 minutes away. So I basically paid him his fare and the tip the same, you know, I paid him as much as I possibly could for taking me that short way. Anyway, I got to my Airbnb, got all logged in, you know, settled. And then I got on Facebook chat and I said, hi, people that are here in DC for this conference. Can anybody like take me to Walmart to get a phone?
Oh, no.
Because I figured out where Walmart was, but I'm like, now I have to get on the metro. I have to figure it out, blah, blah, blah. In a few minutes, I had someone say, I can do that. I can help you. Okay.
Yeah.
So Greg Clark shows up, picks me up, takes me to Verizon, walks me through the whole deal. And I walk out with a very much needed upgraded phone.
And a new relationship with Greg.
Greg had already, we had been talking also for the past year online. Incidentally, he had directed me to International Code Council, which is like international things for construction, and sent me a podcast where someone had been talking about hoarding. And he's like, hey, I thought of you. And next month, I actually have a speaking a presentation for the Northwest chapter for International Code Council. And so it's because of that connection that now I have this speaking that's happening. And it's the connections that have been so valuable, and people showing up without any expectation of me, me, me. It's all about, how can I help you? What can I do to move you forward? And then personally, I enjoy being able to reciprocate, because what you were talking about earlier, when you went to your friend's house and you'd never been there before, and he'd been to your house before, mm-hmm. and it's very hard to not to be able to reciprocate. And I hated that I could not feel comfortable bringing people over. And so for me now, I find that I really want to reciprocate when I can. And I know that it's part of that spilling over from always feeling inferior not being able to do that as a kid. And I have very generous people in my life, even in that time frame as a kid, who had let me stay over, let me, you know, come over, and never really said, well, how come you never let us come over? You know, I did have friends who were aware of that situation and who did come over and did spend the night sometimes. And I was 13 and I had a slumber party, and one of the moms came to pick up their daughter. And when she walked in, she was wearing nice clothes, you know, and she's walking into this house without subfloor or any, you know, subfloor. She knocked it over. Egg cartons were there in a pile, and she knocked them over. And I was like, I'm never inviting people over again. And I really stopped at that point, like trying to engage and have people in the home.
It's tough. One thing to live in, but one thing when you're over and you talk about this reciprocation thing, I talk to a lot of people that are givers. They love giving, give value, give time, talent, treasure, all those things. But I've run into this a lot recently, and I did today too, is that the people that are giving so much are unable to receive. You talk about, I want to help you, I'll help you move or whatever. Cool. Well, yeah, man, just let me know if you need anything. You're like, oh, cool, because I'm never going to ask anything of you.
Very true.
and what kills me, and you know, this is something I had to learn in my life, and something I help other people's with, you know, the other coaching that I do, is I was like, so you tell me that you spend all day, every day, helping other people do all these crazy things. You're blessing all these people. And they're like, well, yeah, but you will not allow someone else to bless you. And they're like, well, when you say it that way, what I have to say, and you know, we're not really on the topic of nonprofit stuff, and that's fine, but you have to allow people to be able to bless you because you're worth blessing. Let me say that again. You have to allow people to bless you because you are worth blessing. It's not just to give, give, give. Is it better to give than to receive? Yeah. But man, receiving's not bad either, let me tell you. Receiving is not bad either.
It is not bad. And that's the thing, is by allowing people to give to you, you are blessing them. Exactly. And that has been something I have had to learn. Mm-hmm. That, yes, I am valuable. I am providing something of value. And there are people that recognize that. And I need to quit trying to push it away. I need to say, okay. I will let this happen and just relax.
Absolutely. One of our mutual acquaintances is Stephen Kuhn, and I believe he kind of runs the Vetpreneur Tribe, and he's a wonderful man. And if he's listening, Stephen, we all love you. And
yes, indeed.
We're glad to have you in our lives. But one of the things that he talks about all the time is creating space. And the only goal in that creating space is just to give value. There's no expectation. There's no ask if you're in the nonprofit space. There's no ask for money. You're just being with the people. It could be clients, donors, whomever, and you're there. Show up, show love and appreciation, and say, how can I help you today? And provide that value with no expectation of reciprocation, with none of those things. Be there, be present, and see what happens. And if you can do that, whether you're in the business space or in the nonprofit space or in your personal life or whatever that looks like for you, you are going to find these amazing doors that open up, doors that you didn't even know existed, that have nothing to do with receiving, but might be an avenue to that next thing or that next donor or that next person. I talked to a friend of mine here recently. They shared a video, and in there, it talks about, and this is nonprofit stuff again, right? You're asking this big donor for money, and they say, no, I can't right now. And it could be they don't have it, or they have it allocated, or they have it allocated over for the next few months or whatever, but they like your organization. And then there's a follow-up question that comes, and then would you be willing to share an email with your email list? Would you be, AKA, would you be willing to promote the thing that you do love about what we're talking about, even though you can't, you know, support me financially today? Would you be willing to share my message with your email list? And I tell you what, that can be more valuable than even the dollars that they give you. Some of these people out there have extensive email lists. And if you're not familiar with, you know, building email lists and sending out mailers, you know, some people have 50, some people have 100. Some people have 500, 1,000, 10,000, 100,000, 200,000 people on their email list. And when you get a buy-in from a person that has 200,000 people on their email list, if you connect with 1% of those people, it is a great day to interact with, you know, 2,000 of their closest friends that understand their message. And you're getting that person's stamp of approval. You're getting that person's buy-off and buy-in, and that access to their audience is way more valuable than any single check that they could possibly write.
Well, and I think people, sometimes we confuse value with money, and value comes in many forms, whether it's that connection, that email list, someone willing to share your message. And if you are able to just show up and provide value, whatever that looks like, it's amazing. It's a game changer to just be present and listen to what the needs are. And then in your example, if they like your message, you're right. Maybe the money's tied up, but that doesn't mean they aren't able to help in other valuable ways. And I think for anyone who's trying to ask, you have to figure out and pay attention to what they're actually telling you, because it may not be a no. It might just be a not right now, or we can do, let me see what other way I could help you do this.
Yeah. Yeah. I had Patrick Kirby on, and he's a brilliant fundraiser, and he's a great personality and a wonderful guy to talk to. If you get a chance to connect with Patrick Kirby on my page, please do. But his big thing is people want to give you their time, talent, treasure, but they might not have their treasure available, but they might have their time and talent available.
Right.
Yeah. I talked to someone new. I talked to my new friend Gray at Athena Owl, and it is a UAV cinematography thing that he does, documentary style films for nonprofits. And I hope to have him on the show soon. Wow. And it's really cool. But he might not have treasure for you, but he might have time, and he might use his talent to really impact your nonprofit in something of that nature. But it's so amazing. I know we talked a little bit before we kicked the show off, and you talked about planting seeds. And I know growing up in northern Minnesota, it's real big, you know, farming area. Every state's got their farming area, right? But you have farmers that are trying to produce their product, their yield, their crop, and they sow seed. And for some people that aren't familiar, some of these larger farms, they're sowing $2.5 million worth of seed into the soil. It's $2 million down payment on the hope of a future harvest. And I know that is not a small farm, and it's not a medium-sized farm. Those are some of the bigger farms, and they have the money. But $2 million is gone, and they're sowing seed with the hope of the sunshine and the rain and the decent weather. So at the end of the year, they might collect that harvest. But you were talking about sowing seeds in a different way with relationships.
I think that it's very valuable to build relationships. And a lot of those relationships have nothing to do with anything I do in my business or industry. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, how are we connecting? And it could be in so many different ways. And I've had conversations where I'm like talking about branding and someone will come in and say, oh, here's a color wheel. You know, here's what these colors means. You should think about that. Oh, look at that. Awesome artist people helping me out, telling me, you know, and I've been able to come back and say, oh, you're organizing your workspace. Here's some things you could potentially do for that to make it like if you are have mobility issues, make it user friendly for you. You know, it, somebody else might come into your workspace and go, why is this here? It doesn't matter. It works for you. And so organize your space so that it works for you. Mm-hmm. And what's been that amazing part to me is I didn't say, can someone please help me do colors and branding? I just would say, hey, I'm trying to figure this out. What do you think? And someone would come in and say, oh, here, try this or do this. And it's because the relationships have been built. It's because the seeds have been planted along the way. And I love your analogy of planting hope. You are doing $2.5 million of planting with the expectation somewhere down the road that at least hopefully you'll make it back. You may not profit, but you may at least be able to make it back. And you never know what's going to happen with snow and rain and locusts and who knows what when you're farming.
The seven plagues.
I mean, my grandpa is actually from northern Minnesota. Big Fork is where he was from. That's where my dad was actually born. And so my other grandpa's from Iowa and they had cattle. And so I really key into that farming background. And I feel like that's often what we're doing in our lives and our business and our nonprofit is we have an idea, we have this little seed and we plant it and we water it and we hope it will grow and produce something, but you don't really know what that's going to be until it's already been through the rain and the snow and all of a sudden, oh, look, it's sprouting. That seed I planted, there actually might be something worthwhile coming out of that, but you may not see it for several years, in business or in nonprofit, or if you're going to college, or if you're working towards some goal, it's all those little steps. And if you reverse engineer that and think, if I hadn't planted the seed, I wouldn't have this now. And so it can be very discouraging when you're in the trenches trying to build something and no one sees your vision, or you're not connected with other people who understand why you're doing this crazy journey. And once you start making those connections, even if you're on totally different industries and doing totally different things, there's still this spark. There's still this camaraderie. There's still this, oh, that's awesome what you're doing. How can I support that? I maybe don't have money. I don't have the treasure, but I do have time. And I can share your things and I can connect you with other people. And I think it's very valuable to become a connector in your respective communities because all of a sudden you can start pulling people together and say, hey, this person does IT work on the East Coast. I know I could refer them. Mm-hmm. Look, this happened to me this week, actually. Robert Garcia's group, Success Engineers, has a really great cross-section of people in various industries. And I met a gal there who does interior design in San Diego area. And I had someone else connecting, asking me, hey, do you do work in San Diego? I'm like, well, I could, but I'm in Seattle, north of Seattle. So I was able to ask the interior designer, do you know someone that does organizing in your area? Oh, yes, by the way, she does. And I was able to give two resources to this other gal.
Yeah.
And it was like, awesome sauce. I was able to just connect this whole thing. And it's amazing. It feels amazing to be able to provide that kind of resource and getting comfortable with the idea of asking and then taking that and saying, oh, by the way, I asked and here you go. And there's something very Christmas I got the most amazing present in the world feeling when you're able to make that connection.
Absolutely. And when you make these connections and you plant these seeds and you do good work along the way, you do things like creating a flyer for youth living in hordes, and it gets picked up by conferences, and that's actually being used in San Francisco. Is that right?
Next month, I just learned this morning that, so there's this conference at the Mental Health Association of San Francisco, and it's called, I wrote it down. It's basically around redefining how we're dealing with mental health. And one of the things that come up in these situations is youth that are living there. Sorry. And this doctor, Suzanne Chabad, is going to be presenting there. And she is in a group that I'm in called My COHP, which is Minor Youth of Hoarding Parents. And we've been creating some resources as a subgroup of children of hoarders, and we've been creating resources for minors. And it's very exciting that she's going to be at this conference talking about that. And she was said, "Oh, Tammy, by the way, I love your flyer and I'm taking that too." Yes. I'm like, yes. And that's a seed. 2 years ago, I made that, realizing my own experiences might help someone else. And I mean, there are simple things you could do if you suspect a kid is having a problem. And it's not just specific, it's specific to hoarding, but we are dealing with homelessness. We all have families living in cars. They don't have anywhere to do their homework. They might have to take a shower at the pool. And those are also survival things as a youth. Once you get a little older, you start to realize there's ways you could appear normal if you did some of these things. Like, I personally did laundry at my grandma's, and that was how I had my clothes clean for the week for school. We didn't have running water. It's a whole nother story I could go into. You learn those, it's a survival thing. And what I've learned is when you are going through those hardships, whatever they are in life, in any aspect, is you're building resiliency. And once you start to recognize that you have these skills, you can bring them into other things, the military, a business, school, your family. You start to realize that all that stuff has been fertilizer for your seed. And then you start to realize that some of that has occurred might have seemed not beneficial and was very hard, and I'll leave my sailor language out of it. So I have a meme somewhere that says it takes a lot of shit to grow a flower. And that's kind of
this
feels.
This is a family show, Tammy.
I know.
A family show. Because obviously kids are starting nonprofits.
Yes. It's amazing what some of these 15-year-old kids are doing. They see a need. I saw a kid who started his own bakery and made cupcakes. And for every cupcake that he sells, he gives one to someone that's homeless. And he's 15 and he's already got this giving spirit, you know, that he has picked up from somewhere. And I wish I knew a name. I don't know a name, but I saw it yesterday, you know. I was like,
you were supposed to study for this.
We had
like a reading list, a whole line of questions. You got to come prepared to these things.
I know. You really think I would be more prepared. My goodness.
We were busy getting your Airbnb online, and that's okay. But so where do you see your business in the next 5 years? What's your vision for the future?
My vision is a bit broad, but I can narrow that down into the fact that there's a lot of need for education and understanding of what hoarding is. And
what it looks like, I imagine.
What it looks like.
Yeah.
There are shows, and most of the time, initial conversations I have will talk about, I've seen this show. It's true. The trauma there is very real. If you take anything from those shows, I would say the trauma is real. It's very hard for the person that hoards to deal with removing their things. It's also very hard to be the family member in that situation. And my goal is to provide presentations, workshops, training to people who want to help, but they don't know what to do. And I see lots of people that want to help, but you might walk into a situation and the person you're there to help might get very angry at you. And you're like, whoa, I came here to help. Why are they so mad? Because they have unaddressed trauma. Because
yeah,
it's like a blanket that you're now disturbing. And if they haven't been working on whatever their issues are that cause them to hoard, they're not going to be very receptive to your help. Mm-hmm. What I see is there's a lot of people that are ready and willing to help the person that hoards, but there's a whole bunch of people around them that don't have resources. The family member, sometimes the firefighter, EMS, adult protective services, child protective. There's a whole neighbors, city officials, whole towns and communities are angry that they have hoarding in their community. But they're not recognizing why someone hoards to begin with. And you're going to have a much easier time if you have a conversation, if you don't march in and say, let's just throw it all away. Immediate, you've lost. You will not win in that scenario. But if you say, hi, Susie, how are you? I love your scarf. How's your dog, Ralph? Treat them like a person. And that can be hard to do in an emotionally charged situation. And so I just see a lot of need for people to understand that typically hoarding is a manifestation of other issues. It's not the main problem.
It's a symptom of the problem, not the problem. Yeah.
Not the actual problem. I was listening to a podcast the other day that Ryan Matthews did, and he was talking about it's the thing beneath the thing. And that's exactly what hoarding scenarios are. It's the thing beneath the thing. What's really going on? And until you key into that, you will get so much resistance. You will probably say, I give up, which, by the way, is a lot of the reasons why families aren't involved. They've already tried everything they know and they walk away. And that isolates that person that hoards even more.
Mm-hmm. So what can me or my team or my listeners or my network do to help you?
And it's interesting because I just did compile a kind of an overview of all the things I'm working on. And I'm like, wow, I need a team. I'm never going to get there on my own. And that's a good realization, actually, for anyone. If you're trying to, you have a grand vision, you have to recognize you aren't going to get there alone. Quit lone wolfing it. It's not going to, you will kill yourself mentally if you don't find ways to have that support. My objective is to find people that are keyed into the fact that this is a problem. And if you're having an event, if you're having some sort of scenario where the issue of housing or hoarding or mental health is coming up, and you are looking for someone that has a lived experience perspective, I'd be more than happy to share my story or resources with your group.
See, this is it, Tammy. You're not letting people bless you. How can we help you? Now, how can you help them? How can we help you?
I would love to find the people or persons who have corporate contacts.
Now we're getting somewhere.
For training, for education. I'll give an example. We have HUD. Housing and Urban Development, and they maintain a lot of properties throughout our country, mm-hmm. and they have tenants that hoard. They don't know what to do. They have tried everything, up probably to eviction, to get this person out, yet nothing's effective. They do repeated cleanouts. It's costing them a lot of money to do that. Mm-hmm. So what if we did it different? What if we didn't find the person? What if we said, John, you're a great tenant, except you have too much stuff. So here's how we're going to fix this. Let's work together so that you can retain your housing, but get your space to a safe level of stuff. Have checkpoints. Don't just say, we're coming back in 90 days, because I guarantee you they're going to start on at day 89 at midnight trying to address some piece of it. So there's, you need to have checkpoints. You need to have ways to measure success. And I see a lot of need for entities like that to have better ways to address their tenants that hoard.
So you have then a written out formula or game plan to help address these things, or someone could download from your website to help them.
Yes, to help them understand how they could do it a little better. And real estate folks are very keyed into this issue because they might be trying to sell a property and the property next door is horrible. And so they're showing this, maybe this gorgeous home to their client, and the client looks over the fence and is like, nope, not living there. So there are ways you could start the conversation with that neighbor if you chose to.
But how is that my network helping, Tammy?
I would say connecting with people who are trying to solve housing issues. And I know in the nonprofit space, there are a lot of entities that are asked to come and fix something in a home. And they get there and they can't repair the floor because they can't find the floor. And what I see is that within nonprofit, there's room for some of those people to specifically be able to address a hoarding situation. And I would like to have those people have the tools so that they're better equipped to do it. And if people know people in those sectors, connecting with them would be amazing. Having a conversation, tell me what you need. What's the struggle you're having in your nonprofit with this issue? How can we come up with some sort of solution that would help you? Because this is a massive problem. It isn't specific to me and where I live. It's all over the country. In fact, all over the world. Mm-hmm. So where are those nonprofits that are struggling with this issue? What resources do they need? And people are a little afraid to ask, I think.
They are, and I think that they can connect with you, and we're going to have your contact info in the show notes if you want to get a hold of Tammy on any of her social media. Connect with her. If you want to get a t-shirt with a quote from Tammy today, that link will also be in the show notes. It's your Tammy Moses quote t-shirt. Everyone that that is sold, right, Tammy gets $5 to help her on her mission.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's absolutely. Pretty awesome.
Absolutely. So make sure if you love the show, give us a like, a share, a thumbs up, a subscribe, hop on Patreon, give us some cash, but buy a t-shirt, help Tammy in her mission of helping taking care of hoarders and help them get into a safe living space because, you know, homes are for living. Thank you so much, Tammy, for being on the show today. Glad to have you.
Thanks so much, Travis. I really enjoyed it.
You've been listening to The Nonprofit Architect. To listen to all our past shows, visit http://nonprofitarchitect.org. And be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show. Thank you.